Hi, I'm Rob Kendall, and this is the Front End Podcast.
The Front End Podcast explores the ins and outs of life as a developer. We delve into challenging topics around modern day development and technology, including learning, professional growth, programming languages, frameworks, tools, techniques, UX, UI, careers, and so much more.
Hi folks, and welcome to episode 4. Today we have a special prize for you, two guests for the price of one. Today we are joined by two guests, Arjun Gillard and Simran Hundal. Arjun is head of .NET recruitment in the recruitment firm Understanding Recruitment. He has almost 10 years in recruitment experience and is now focused on the tech side of things, placing top developers in various positions across the UK. Simran is a JavaScript recruitment consultant, also with Understanding Recruitment. Simran helps place JavaScript and front-end developers in a variety of roles within different business sectors and has been doing so for the past few years. They're both going to talk to us about the promises, the pitfalls, the good parts of recruitment, how you can help employers to recruit you, how employers can help recruiters to engage with and employ great developers, and everything in between. So let's get to it.
So joining us today on the show, we've got Arj and Simran, both two experienced tech recruiters. Arj, you've been doing it for almost a decade. Simran, a little bit earlier in your recruitment career, I think, from looking at LinkedIn. Tell me, how did you both get into recruiting? What was the draw to the dark side of tech?
So mine is pretty much the standard recruitment thing. I came out of university. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I actually did computer science for a year and dropped out and did archaeology instead, which was a very different choice of courses. When I was looking for jobs online, I kept like just looking for office jobs, and recruitment kept coming up. I looked into it and I was like, yeah, actually, I think that would be something that I'd be very good at, because I've always been a confident, outgoing individual that likes speaking to people. So I thought, yeah, you know what, I'll give that a go. I started in engineering recruitment first and foremost. I was with the same company for near enough 8 years, started placing mechanical design engineers, and then built a team out up to about 20 people underneath me. And then 8 months ago, decided to change and go into tech. Yeah, I've been doing tech for about 8 months now, and really, really enjoy it, really love it. The company I work for, Understanding, is awesome, and yeah, I just like the new challenge, really.
I mean, that is quite a pendulous swing from kind of a computer science degree to archaeology to recruitment. Yeah. I love it, but it's got to give you a bit of an insight, surely, to to the kind of developers you're looking to place into roles, having that kind of technical background and certainly the formal learning of the CS degree.
Yeah, exactly, and a lot of my friends are developers as well, and I think that's what's helped me when I first started within tech, because I do .NET recruitment, as you know. I didn't really know what C#, .NET, ASP.NET was in too much detail, but then asking my friends who are front-end developers, full-stack developers, they've basically given me the insight into what everything entails, so I was thankfully able to pick it up quite quickly in that sense.
Brilliant. And what about you, Simran?
So my path's very, very different to Arj's. I mean, I went to university, actually studied accounting and financial management. Coming from that Indian background, if you're not an accountant, doctor, engineer, then you're sort of looked down upon a bit. I went there, got an accountancy degree. But then when I came out, I just realized that life of being an accountant, it just wasn't me. It's more about, I'm more of a people person. I need to be speaking to people constantly. So I actually applied for like a sales job. I was applying for every sort of sales job in sort of, I think it was the height of the recession. So I was sort of just looking for anything at that point, anything that I could get my hands on. And funnily enough, started off my career working for Ronseal Paints. So I don't know if you've heard of them. Does exactly what it says on the tin. Started with those guys. And then essentially just, it was like a grad scheme. Selling essentially their varnishes, paints, just started off basically people to people. And then from there, really just carried on in sales, selling different things. And I just felt unchallenged at the time. I just felt the conversations I was having just lacked depth. I was in the pub and I met one of my friends who was actually in recruitment. He was doing medical recruitment at the time. and we just got talking. It was about a couple of years ago, and he was asking me how's work, how's things going on your end, and I just said, yeah, I just don't feel that challenged at the moment. The conversations don't really have that depth. I don't find it that technical, to be honest. And he just said, look, have you thought about getting into recruitment? It's really fast paced. Your personality seems like it would fit into that. And, you know, you should do a bit of research into that. So, yeah, long story short, it was I just started doing a bit of research into the different sort of verticals, you know, where recruitment's obviously alive and kicking in so many different fields. And I was really drawn into sort of tech. The fact that, you know, the Ubers of this world, Deliveroo's, Just Eats were just not here 5 years ago. And it just seemed like a place that's going to need a lot of people. So it just jumped in from there. And then I, you know, it led me to understanding Recruitment Store, where I, in fact, just I reached out to the co-founder here, Chris Jackson. I rang in and I just said, look, this is my skill set. I think I could add value to your business. It sort of just went from there, really. They needed someone on the JavaScript front end side. And I just immersed myself into that world. And here I am, really, heading up the JavaScript team here.
Amazing. I like it. And it's a weird landscape, recruitment, because it is effectively like sales, but double sales, because you've got to sell the job downwards to the person applying for it, but then sell the person applying it upwards to the kind of client. So you've got this kind of dual sales approach. But it's stuff that you're selling stuff people actually want. So that sales background is bound to sort of help you. So you're both at, you know, different places in the kind of tech recruitment landscape. How have you seen it change? I mean, has there been a noticeable shift towards certain technologies and requirements, things like that?
Yeah, I mean, essentially, when I came on board, I'll tell you over the last couple of years how I've seen it change. JavaScript front end is what I specialize in. It's so fast paced at the moment. It's a skill that's so sought after by every business at the moment. With regards to contract and perm, it was very much, I'd say, quite a contract heavy market because of the demand for it. Everyone was sort of, especially in London where I'm working, it is quite contract heavy. But at the same time, everyone wants that permanent employee that wants to grow with their business. And that's where the challenge is, really. I mean, my team and I specialize mainly in the permanent side of things. You know, the challenge for us is finding those guys. You know, at the moment, the hottest thing seems to be people seem to be using React, Redux, ES6. Some people are going for a full stack JavaScript tech stack where they are using Node.js on the back end. Some people have that requirement for TypeScript now. You know, I could see all these languages starting to crop up more. Essentially, when I started, it was just sort of a React and Angular 2 plus, I'd say. They were the two common frameworks. Now the landscape's starting to change with Vue.js. A lot of sort of tech leads that I speak to really like the way Vue.js is coming into it. It takes, the way they say it to me is they like the way it takes both aspects of Angular and Vue. They feel it's the good side, but at the moment, the way I'd say the front end is going, it's still React Redux seems to be the hottest framework when it comes to front end development.
I like to hear that Vue's getting a bit more traction. Because, I mean, it's not like it's not a popular framework. Mm. But I saw something on LinkedIn the other day, and another recruit was asking about a company he's working with, like, should they go with React or Vue? And then loads of developers were chipping in, going, oh, this one's the best and this is the best. When really, the best one is the one you want to use. But someone did have an argument of, you know, in terms of support and kind of popularity, React kind of wins. And so generally people gravitate towards that. But it's nice to see that there's more demand growing for Vue, because I don't use it personally, but it is a great framework.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people like to give recruiters, you do get a bit of bashing. You work very hard for your money, but you do like get a bit of bashing on social media. But I think that's because it comes down to people kind of choosing, you know, the wrong one and the wrong types. Now, are there any kind of red flags developers should look out for when engaging with recruiters?
I mean, it's like every industry, really, isn't it? I think if you type into Google recruiters are, it comes up with a whole world of stuff, just basically bashing us as an industry and as individuals. But red flags, there's some companies that will put out fake jobs, which like we don't agree with. There's some people that would just mail shot their entire database and say, I've got this new job. Again, like we don't really work that way because we take a tailored approach to the candidate. So we want to know what the individuals want. It depends on the first message you get. If you're looking at the message and it's clearly like an automated message, I wouldn't advise going with that recruiter. And do your research into the industry. If you Google them, looking at Google reviews, look on their Glassdoor reviews, and then you can get an idea of who they are as a person. Look at their LinkedIn. Look at their, have candidates recommended them or have clients recommended them as well. And that will help the candidates and clients also sort of whittle out the cowboy recruiters or however the industry wants to describe them, really.
With regards to, especially on the front end side of things, it is quite a vast landscape. So the first thing I tend to do when I speak to a candidate is, yeah, I want to understand, just get a brief synopsis of, you know, where their JavaScript journey has started. Some people, I mean, started from Flash development, you know, and they've gone all the way through to JavaScript developer, and they've seen that landscape over 20 years, you know, and I found that fascinating. You know, the guys that I've got working with me, first thing we want to understand is, you know, where are you in your career, first of all? You know, what technologies, what frameworks have you been working with? Projects wise, you know, what have you worked with? Has it been React? Has it been Angular 2+? Has it been AngularJS, Vue.js? You know, just get a feel. And then from there, we can understand what they're looking for at the same time. So I've got clients right now that say, look, yeah, I'm using Vue.js for all my projects. But going forward, you know, when I'm recruiting, it doesn't matter to me if they're from a React or Angular background, because for them, it's like, look, it's a modern framework. We understand it will take a couple of weeks for those guys to pick it up, but it's more about the candidates buy-in. So coming back to your question of, you know, you're saying what red flags, if they can't essentially have that solid JavaScript conversation with you, you know, when you're first approached by a recruiter, then that should be like the first red flag. You know, if they're just trying to skim over what you're looking for, then it doesn't seem like it's someone you want to start working with and build that trust up with.
I've had a few of those, and they're very kind of loose top level, where they've not looked at you at all. It's just, I had someone ring me and they went, I've got this front end role. You'll be great for it. It's all PHP. And I was like, well, PHP is not really kind of front end. You do mingle it into your HTML a bit, but I was like, it's not really kind of front end. And it was just, and she was, oh, I can see from your CV. It's like, I don't know what CV you're looking at, because I've never done any PHP in my life, apart from a little bit of WordPress, but I would not sort of hang that on my banner as like, yeah, PHP for the win. On the flip side of that, you must have dealt with some candidate horror stories. I mean, can you share a few?
Yeah, we've had a couple. We spoke to a candidate, and he talked a really good game. He was a full stack engineer, and he spoke about .NET. He spoke in detail about JavaScript, and we're like, right, this guy knows his stuff. We checked his GitHub out, looked really good. Sent it to our client. They had a quick telephone interview with him. Again, same thing. Yeah, really good. Came across very well. Sent him a tech test. Completed the tech test. Sent it back. Then went in for the interview to talk about his technical test and GitHub, and just literally fell apart. And it just became quite apparent quite quickly that he wasn't actually the individual who had done the test or the GitHub or put everything on GitHub. So the client was just literally like, thanks, but no thanks. But what we always advise our candidates is if you don't know something, just be honest and transparent with it, because you will get found out at some point, where either the interview process or if you are being successful and get the position, you'll just get found out then and there. So yeah, that's one of them.
Wow, that's a great mindset, but at the same time, you must, I mean, we all have imposter syndrome a little bit, I think. Or certainly the good ones do. But I mean, there's being good and just thinking you're not, and then there's like just actually being an imposter. Like, I wonder how long he was thinking he'd just get in, if he got the job, like how long he'd stay in the job for. Just, oh yeah, I'm working on that. Just, I don't know, fudging it or outsourcing it. That's mega. I've always had that approach, and I think it's important to say, you know, it's put me in good stead, that honesty. Because, I mean, I'm a senior dev. I know a lot of stuff about a lot of stuff, but there's a lot of stuff that I don't know anything about, you know, and technologies I've not been exposed to. And I think to kind of blag my way through it just makes you look worse rather than just sort of saying, I don't know. But I've got a willingness and an eagerness to learn. Yeah.
Same as me, especially coming from like engineering into tech. I hear it all the time, and you hear it within recruitment as an industry. You always get that specialist recruiter, so like a specialist .NET recruiter or a specialist JavaScript recruiter. Like, I'm not technical in any way, shape or form, and especially coming from engineering to tech, I wouldn't dare dream of saying that. So when I first started speaking to candidates and speaking to clients, I was just open and honest with them. I said, look, I've got 8 years recruitment experience. I know how to recruit. I know this and this. I don't know this. Talk to me about it. So that's how I started to build up my technical knowledge. I was speaking to candidates, so like, right, like, what is ASP.NET? How does that interact? How does that come into the UI when you become a full stack engineer and everything like that? What are the certain nuances? What are the niche areas of your technical skill set? And I just learned it that way, and then like did my own research into what they were saying. So yeah, I definitely think honesty is the best policy with it.
It's going to build trust all around.
Exactly.
Yeah, I was going to say there, Rob, when I started out, I did, I immersed myself into the books, just understanding, trying to get an understanding of what, you know, I'm going to have conversations with front-end JavaScript developers every day, and I just need to have that conviction. So I immersed myself into, obviously, language, trying to understand a little bit more what you guys are working with every day. One of the key things I took from it was, look, when I'm having that conversation, don't be afraid to ask, as I do with so many of my candidates. If I don't understand something, I'll just be like, oh, have you heard of this? For instance, I think I was talking about React Hooks, someone, and they were sort of saying, yeah, that's the future. I was just like, oh, can you tell me a little bit more about that? And just that 5-10 minutes just to chat to them about that, you know, gave me a bit of an understanding. And I can take that information when I speak to my clients as well and understand the points of view that they're coming from as well when I'm qualifying roles.
And I suppose, apart from, obviously, we've talked about flat out lying and just getting other people to do tech tests for you. Apart from those, don't do that, kids. That's not cool. Apart from those, you know, most importantly, how can job hunters, how can the candidates help you to help them? Like, what are the things they can do to stand out or improve their hireability or to make kind of their own life easier?
I think being active on GitHub definitely helps. A lot of our clients, they will look for the candidates' profiles and see how active they are and see what type of work they're doing. So keep your GitHub active, keep your LinkedIn active. And in detail, there's so many developers that will just put software developer as a job title, which is all well and good, but we don't know what tech stack they're using. And then we have to message them to find that out, which we could be just messaging a relevant candidate. So I could be messaging a PHP developer for all I know, because they haven't put it on that. And just be open and willing to speak to a recruiter over the phone. There's a lot of developers are just like, yeah, send me the spec, which is fine. But if we don't know what the developer is actually looking for, not just in terms of the tech stack, but location, type of company, do you want to work for a startup, do you want to work for a multinational, like, we're not going to be able to gauge that from just, I'll send me the spec and I'll give feedback. It's a waste of everyone's time. So I get why some developers are like that, because there are so many recruiters out there that will just not know what they're talking about or just spam the market. Find a good recruiter, have that initial first conversation, tell them what you're looking for, and then it should go swimmingly from there, and then we can then match the roles to the individual. And just be active on social media and talk about tech as well. I think that would definitely help.
If they don't have a GitHub repository, any kind of GitHub profile, so to speak, is it worth them building something in their spare time? Because I mean, I appreciate I'm doing a lot more of it now, because I worked somewhere where we did more open source, and I try and do a lot of, well, like this podcast and writing and things like technical writing and articles. So I'm kind of built mine up over time. But I've done a lot of jobs in the past where it was all very proprietary, closed code, where there wasn't really any public show on terms of GitHub and things like that. So is it worth them maybe starting a couple of side projects just to showcase something that's a bit more public?
Yeah, absolutely, Rob. definitely, that's one of the key things I'd say, you know, as someone that will be representing you for a role or going forward, it's our job to obviously highlight all your key assets and skills. And you make our lives easier if you have got, you know, those side projects going on. In fact, quite a few of the clients that we work with, they love that. If we can attach that to, you know, if we're sending over a CV and we say, look, here's some projects that this chap or lady's done, they love the fact that, you know, they can actually see physical work, and definitely makes you stand out when it comes to an application.
That's really great, you know, advice for just generally, I think, for tech and getting hired as a developer. But I get a lot of questions from kind of aspiring developers or people who are making a switch in career to kind of development. And I think their struggle is with landing junior roles or kind of entry level roles. So do you have any advice for sort of aspiring developers that might, or maybe recent graduates or those looking to land their first junior role? I do get asked about it a lot. And I think it needs a slightly subtle shift from, like, say, me, a normal developer, going to, like,
I think the junior individuals, yes, it is tough to get into the market and to land that first job. You have to stick with it. Think about what type of positions you want and apply for them. Like, there's some developers that I know that will literally apply to every single position just to try and get their foot through the door. Once you land a position, it will open up other options to you. But find a good recruiter, try and speak to people who have been at your university, if you've gone to university or at your college or at your coding school, and ask them if they know anyone within their network who's hiring, could give them a chance as well. And try and do some of the free coding tests just to keep your skills sharp. And you can then utilize that as some examples when you are applying for positions. You're like, yes, I've got no experience, but I've done this coding exercise, so here's some code, or I've produced this bit of code in my own time. And that will set yourself apart from the standard person who's just there, wants a job. You've got to really differentiate yourself in this market.
That's a great bit of advice as well, because again, being slightly more junior or inexperienced, or if you've just not had a dev job at all, the chance of you having, like, a decent portfolio is probably going to be even less than, like, a standard developer. So and probably harder for you to get one, because you've not got the experience in code to build something off code to show to people that you can code. So I suppose that's a really great bit of advice. Get out there and do some tech tests. I recommend to people going and doing some of the certifications on Free Code Camp. It doesn't necessarily hold any authoritative weight, you know, anywhere really, but it does show that application to a structured approach to learning, and you've got some kind of certification at the end of it that at least shows the willing and the topics that you've covered. On the other side of the coin, away from the kind of developers, on the employer's side, what sort of processes can employers adopt to improve their hiring?
I think it obviously every employer has their own way when it comes to, you know, what they look for in a candidate and how they look to make that hire. The only thing I would say in, you know, today's market, especially on the front end side of things, is it's such a fast-paced market. I'd call it a candidate's market. There's just so many options available when it comes to front-end JavaScript roles. Essentially, candidates like yourselves, Rob, can pick and choose the kind of companies where they'd like to work. From the client side, it comes down to make it as efficient as possible. And secondly, it is a two-way street. So it will come down to the client selling their opportunity as well as, you know, the candidate applying. So it's such a key point that I make to all my clients that, look, yeah, this person has applied to you, but he's got so many other options. He can see himself at the start of the process working at all these different companies. He's taking the time. The candidate always takes the time to research the company before they go forward with the application process. So the respect that a client can give back is come back and sell themselves in the right way if it gets to the final stages, and what you can offer. It's a two-way street, and that's one of the biggest pieces of advice I like to give my clients.
Yeah, the efficiency thing, I think, speaking as a from the candidate side, it's definitely, you know, you don't have to have the end-to-end process done in a week, but I'd certainly say, you know, make it as short as possible with as few steps I'd rather go in and do like an interview and a test in like in a one hitter, and then maybe, you know, have a phone conversation outside of that previous or whatever, rather than kind of weeks and weeks dragging on. If you're looking for it, if you're just casually looking, that's one thing. But certainly if you need a job, I was made redundant early last year, and the pressure's on to kind of find another one. And what you don't want is 3-4 week, if not more, dragging out when you're like, well, I like this, but I've got other opportunities. And yeah, I think efficiency of the and brevity of the hiring process is probably quite good. I think, again, from my end, making the interview process just a bit more, just a bit like nice is quite helpful, because it's a stressful period. I had a few horror stories. I won't name names because it's not that kind of show. But I went for an interview up in York. It was like a one-shot interview. I had a quick phone call with someone, and then I went in and they gave me a grill in. It was like a kind of .NET front-endy hybrid type thing. And everything went well. I was very honest, thought it went well. The room was really small, but really hot, nearly passed out. But apart from that, it was okay. And then they got to the point where I think they liked me, but got really suspicious. And I'm not quite sure why. I hope I don't give off like a suspicious vibe. They wanted some massive proof of like stuff I'd done. And I think that's coming back to the portfolio. I struggled to show them any examples because you're like, well, I can't share with you code from previous employers. One, I don't have access to it, and two, there's a real ethical legal issue there. If I show you proprietary code, you know, I'm sure you won't pinch it, certainly if I only show you a couple of files, but still, that's not great. Then they got really suspicious and ended up kind of walking away, and I never really found out why. Then they got really weird with the recruiters, and that was horrendous. And then another one I went to over in Huddersfield, that was just within seconds I knew I didn't want the job, because I was left outside with no way of getting into the building. No one came to greet me. The buzzer was broken. I couldn't ring the office for some reason. I called and they were like, oh, this is a head office number, not the actual office that you stood in front of. And then when I did get in, no one was like, oh, hi, who are you? What are you here for? I was just milling about inside the office like, hello, is this the right place? And then eventually some chap came through and sort of took me into another room and then gave me a kind of grilling from out of the 80s book, kind of business hiring, you know. It was almost like that scene in the boiler room, you know, that always be closed. And it was like, can I leave? This is awful. And what about engaging with a recruiter as an employer? What should they be doing?
Again, do your research to the recruitment agency. Like all these things, our role is a fee-based role. There's some clients that will try and drive the fee down, and like, you're just not going to get a decent level of service with it. But that aside, it's realizing that we are here to place individuals to the business and help drive the business forward. The organizations that we work with, we truly partner with them and we act as an extension of their business. So we're not just there to send CVs and make placements. Like, we write salary guides for each one of our markets. We'll give them insights into their business. We'll give them insights into the market as a whole. So it's having that understanding that we are here to really partner with you. So go through the job spec with us, set up technical conversations, because like all these things, job specs, they'll have 6 to 8 bullet points and they'll all be, oh, this is essential. But when you actually speak to the hiring manager on a technical level, they're like, yeah, we've written this, but actually no, if they haven't got that, I don't mind. And you don't get that without having the technical conversation. So it's being open and willing to do that and just working with either one agency or two agencies or three agencies. Don't flood the market and go out to 5 or 10, because you just won't get a decent quality of candidate, and it makes the candidate experience not as good, because if they're having 10 recruiters call the same candidate up about the same position, they're like, right, do they want someone specific, or do they just want anyone that's in the market that's open to them?
Yeah, I think I like to see, certainly from a, if any employers are listening to this and they want to know what candidates like, I personally quite like an emphasis on culture. Because like you said, if you've got decent level developers who maybe, you know, if you need something that's super technically in-depth and skilled at a specific thing, sometimes you do, then that's fine. But if you just want a good developer who can like learn things and be a part of the company and really make some change, I think you should hire for culture and emphasize that in the job spec that you put out. Because I got a valuable piece of Twitter nugget months ago, and it stuck with me, but it's that
you can teach people anything, but you can't undick a person.
And I just loved it, because I was like, yeah, I've worked with people who they knew their stuff, but they were atrocious to work with because they were gatekeepy and just really gruff and like, you know, very actually types. Where I think I'd rather work with someone who's maybe less experienced but interested in learning and tackling the kind of problem and working on those challenges rather than just being a know-it-all and insufferable. You mentioned as well before we did the podcast about how I went about the episode one I did where I'd mentioned about do you need a degree to get into development and things like this. And again, it's quite a cyclical topic. It comes up again and again. You said you had some advice on it. So what are your advice and thoughts?
A lot of our clients do ask for degrees. Some of them are like, yeah, we need people from top 10 unis. It all depends on the individual. I'm not saying that you have to go to university to get a job in development, because I've placed individuals before who have done apprenticeships. I've placed individuals who have just started out as a trainee. But really do your research and think, is this actually right for me? Because there's no point getting into all this debt if at the end of the day you don't want to do development. But if you are going to go to uni, 100% computer science degree, but we also place individuals from an engineering background or a maths or a physics, you know, all the STEM subjects really will help you. Or find a coding course or an apprenticeship to get you into it. It's still at this moment in time, degrees are seen as you've got that higher level of learning. Whether that's the case or not is still to be undecided. I've personally met some great developers that haven't got a degree that do wonders. So yeah, it's entirely up to you as an individual, but I'd still suggest if you could go for the degree option.
Interesting. It's nice to get different perspectives, especially from that, you know, I mean, you're deep in the bowels of the hiring side of it. It's nice to get that demand, if you like, from the employer side of, you know, are people really asking for it? I suppose it depends. Well, if you're going for a particular company, I'm throwing Facebook out there because it's one of those biggest aspirational type companies that people want to work for. And I suppose if bigger companies like that put a lot of demand on having top tier candidates with specific types of qualifications, be it a type of degree, then it probably is something people should look at. I ask this of everyone who comes on the show: do you have anything to plug, anything you'd like to, you know, apart from obviously understanding recruitment? All the links in the show notes, but have you got anything else you'd like, any links, any names you'd like to drop?
Yeah, obviously like plug us as a business. I mean, I post a weekly mindset post on LinkedIn every Wednesday. I'm a big advocate for mental health and mindset and mindfulness as well. So it'll be great to hear developers' comments and thoughts on that. Really, that'd be something that I'd be keen to hear.
Yeah, I might. Do you never know? I might hit you back up for a sequel episode on mental health. It's something I struggle with now. And I think it's very important to kind of look after your mental health. And I think it's becoming more of a challenge in today's landscape, just in general, never mind development. So yeah, it might be something that I'll get you back on to talk about. But that's really good. I'll definitely check that out. I'll put a link to it. Thank you very much, Arj and Simran, for coming on and talking to us about recruitment. Hopefully it will definitely help some people out, because I think a lot of people do struggle with it, or they're a bit blasé about it, or they just hate recruiting. I think you absolutely shouldn't. You know, at the very worst, they are a necessary evil, but I think they're great, because personally, if you get the good ones like you guys are, then they will help you get into places that you might otherwise not. You know, there's nothing worse and nothing more soul destroying as a developer than sending CVs off and just getting nothing back at all. And I think recruiters can get to know you and talk you up and big up your skill sets and get you into places. So thank you both very much for coming.
Thank you. Thanks. Thanks, Rob. Bye. Cheers.
So that's it for this episode. Do consider subscribing and give us a like or a share on social media. Speaking of which, if you'd like to follow the show, we're available on Twitter at Frontend Podcast. You can follow me, Rob Kendall, on Twitter too at Kendall Mint Code. If you'd like to find out more about the show, sponsor an episode, or be a guest, you can find out more on the dedicated website, thefrontendpodcast.site.